Well, I don't know what you came up with in your conversations about things that you find difficult in the Christian life, but we're continuing our series this morning on the Sermon on the Mount, where we have the challenge of what the Christian counterculture is, how we are to live as different to the world around us. And we come this morning to three areas of life, ordinary areas of life, but areas where it is very hard to live the way that God would have us to do. But before we turn to the text, let me pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that you will speak to us from your word this morning. We pray that we will be willing to listen to what you would teach us. And we pray, Father, that we might know that citizens of the kingdom of heaven will be different. Help us to live your way, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in 1997, a commercial appeared which in some small way changed the world. It was Apple's Think Different campaign. It was a one-minute commercial featuring black and white footage of 17 iconic 20th century personalities. They included Albert Einstein, Bob Dylan, Martin Luther King Jr., John Lennon, Muhammad Ali, Mahatma Gandhi, and Jim Henson, creator of the Muppets, and alongside him was Kermit the Frog. And the commercial in part said, "Here's to the crazy ones, the rebels, the troublemakers, the ones who see things differently. While some may see them as the crazy ones, we see genius. Because the people who are crazy enough to think they can change the world are the ones who do." It finished with the Apple logo and the text, "Think Different." The ad was an enormous success for Apple. In many ways, the new ad campaign marked the beginning of Apple's re-emergence as a technical giant. "Think different," said the ad. And they already were, because that is not grammatically correct, as many people pointed out. Think different. But when Jesus was giving his Sermon on the Mount, he didn't say, "Think different," but "Be different." He was kind of saying, "Be a crazy one," not in the sense of those who appeared in the Apple commercial, but in the sense that being a citizen of the kingdom of heaven will have you living, to quote John Stott, the Christian counterculture. Being a citizen of the kingdom of heaven demands that you be different. It demands a crazy kind of living that is completely countercultural. We saw it last week in three particular areas. The first three of six, where Jesus introduced the topic by saying, "You have heard that it was said, but I say to you." We heard of the countercultural demands in the area of murder. Jesus said, "Anyone who is angry with his brother is subject to judgment, not just the person who spills blood in homicide." And so Jesus' demand to be different was that they go and be reconciled to one another. This was to take precedence over any religious observance. We saw it too in the area of adultery. "You have heard it said, do not commit adultery. But I say to you," said Jesus, "that anyone who looks lustfully at a woman has already committed adultery with her in his heart." And so citizens of the kingdom of heaven are to be different and to take sin that seriously that they are prepared to avoid it no matter what the cost. The world may think them crazy, but it is better to get to heaven with body parts missing than for your whole body to go into hell. We saw it also in the area of divorce. Again, citizens of the kingdom of heaven don't take divorce lightly and need to take marriage vows seriously. Well, we come today to the second group of these three contrasts. Firstly, to the area of our word. So we read in Matthew chapter 5 from verse 33, "Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but keep the oaths you have made to the Lord. But I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. Simply let your yes be yes, and your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. There is no direct Old Testament quote here, unlike the three from last week, but it draws on passages in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. It was an Old Testament principle that people were to keep their oaths. The Pharisees in New Testament times had all sorts of different oaths. If the oath included God's name, well, they were bound to obey that one. But if it didn't, they were not bound. They could kind of get away with it. So the swearing of oaths became a means where you could get away with lying and deception. Well, Jesus, in his call for kingdom people to be different, says no oaths should be needed. Let your yes be yes, and your no be no. Be a person where your word means your word. Where people don't have to ask you to make a promise because your word can be trusted and they know that. Now, we need to note that Jesus isn't laying down a new law here, that people should never in any circumstances take an oath. He isn't concerned with taking an oath passe, but with truthfulness. We can recall that Jesus allowed the high priest to put him under an oath, and Paul called on God to be his witness. We cannot, on the basis of these verses, refuse to take an oath in court. So friends, when it comes to your word, you are to be different. You are to be the crazy ones. Imagine what it would be like that whenever you speak, it will be truth. That you don't exaggerate, twist, or distort the truth, or outright lie. That you don't indulge in gossip, saying something behind someone's back that you wouldn't say to their face. And that you don't indulge in flattery, saying something to someone's face that you wouldn't say behind their back. And that when we say we will do things, that instead of reneging on it, that we do follow through. Are we prepared to be different in the area of our word? But how? How can we be different? The demands are high. How can we, as citizens of the kingdom of heaven, be like that? Well, by looking at the one who came to establish the kingdom. In his teaching in the Gospels, Jesus on more than 100 occasions introduced his teaching with, "I tell you the truth." And John speaks of him this way in chapter 1. "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." And verse 17, "For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." And in those famous, in that famous verse in John 14:6, Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." If our King is truth, then we must be known as people of truth. If our Lord spoke the truth, then so too must we. Exaggeration, distortion, and deception come from the one who is known as the father of lies. But the kingdom that Jesus came to establish transforms people. And one area where it brings transformation is in the area of our speech. Well, the next area is that of our reaction to evil. In verse 38, we have the principle of revenge laid down. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And we think that's quite barbaric. But this principle was laid down so as to restrict unlimited revenge. If someone chopped off someone's hand, but the person who revenged that didn't chop off their head as well. To steal from Gilbert and Sullivan, the punishment had to fit the crime. And this had the double effect of defining justice and restraining revenge. And this principle of just retribution was one for the law courts. The scribes and Pharisees, though, had tried to extend it to the realm of personal relationships. They tried to use it to justify personal revenge. Old Testament law, though, explicitly forbade this. Leviticus 19, verse 18. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbour as yourself. I am the Lord. And Jesus here in the Sermon on the Mount states that in the area of personal relationships, we are to be guided by the principle of love and not justice. So reading from verse 39, Jesus says, "But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you." Well, how are we to view these verses? Luther describes an incident of what he calls the crazy saint who let the lice nibble at him and refused to kill any of them on account of this text. Leo Tolstoy interpreted Jesus' words as a prohibition of all physical violence to both persons and institutions. And Gandhi was also greatly influenced by these verses. But again, we must not treat these verses as a new kind of law. So if someone breaks into your house and wallops your wife over the head with the back of a rifle, we don't then go and get our kids and say, "We'll do the same to them." No, wisdom comes into play here. What the verses are doing, though, is getting us to ask, how do we respond to the person who mistreats us? Our immediate desire may well be to see them punished. But being a citizen of heaven will make you view it differently. It will make you act differently. It will make you be a crazy one. You will act not out of revenge or even justice, but out of love. Instead of retaliation, there will be self-sacrifice for the sake of others. Now, friends, imagine the impact on our community if we all acted like that. That when we are wronged, that we act with kindness and love. Someone may be giving you a tough time at work, but the only thing that they can say against you is that you keep being kind to them. Someone may be putting you down in the company of others, and you know this, and you simply respond by taking them out for lunch, not just once, but a number of occasions. And you don't poison the food. Now, I'm sure we can all think of ways in which we have been wronged and ways in which we could, instead of responding in kind, how we could respond in the way that Jesus would have us to do. And it will be radical. Like offering to carry someone's pack an extra mile, even if they were harsh taskmasters. But again, we must ask, how can we act like that when our natural inclination is to justice and not mercy, to retaliation and not forgiveness, to hatred and not love, to harm and not good? Well, again, as citizens of the kingdom of heaven, the answer is found at looking at the life of the King. We read this in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 to 23. "To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. The crazy ones, who are the citizens of the kingdom of heaven, will act differently. Knowing what Jesus has done for them, knowing what he has done for you and what he has done for me, should affect the way we react to wrong. The third and last area that we will cover this morning is that of our relationships, and this just flows on from what we've been looking at. Verse 43, "You have heard that it was said, 'Love your neighbour and hate your enemy.' But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous." We see that there is to be no distinction between those who benefit from our generosity. Our Heavenly Father doesn't just send the rain on the Christians or the sun just on the Christians. He gives good gifts to both those who love him and those who hate him. As someone has said, to respond to evil with evil is human. To respond to good with good is human. To respond to good with evil is devilish. But to respond to evil with good is divine. Well, some of you may remember the kerfuffle over Belinda Neal, the ex-member for the seat of Robertson on the Central Coast, who came to notoriety for having a feisty temper and for allegedly abusing staff at the Iguanas nightclub. And she once said that what she did to cope with her enemies was to write their names on pieces of paper and then get out a big pair of scissors and cut up those pieces of paper and then put them in the freezer. That helped her, she said. Do you have people like that? Who would be on your freezer list? How long would it be? Would you need a chest freezer to hold them all? Well, we may well have some sympathy for Belinda and think in some ways she is only human. But the way of the citizen of heaven is totally different. It is a crazy way. You won't just love those who love you. You will love those beyond those you like and get on with, and you will pray for those who persecute you. Who's on your prayer list? Certainly, have non-Christians there that you're praying for. And I'm sure your family is there. And maybe some Link missionaries. But are there any enemies there? When was the last time that you prayed for an enemy? And this different way of behaving will mean that church isn't just about hanging out with my friends. We will endeavour to get to know and to love those that we don't naturally gel with. And across our age groups, I take it. And by the way, if you class everyone in your small group as a good, close friend, then it's probably time to change groups. If you've been with your friends for many a year now, make a change. For there are others out there who need your love. And does your love spread out beyond your friends, way beyond to those who we may class as our enemies? Does the love you show towards others indicate to the world that you are a Christian? Bill Hybels, in our Book of the Month, tells the story of how a neighbour across the road used to put out his trash can at exactly the same time as he did, 9 p.m., I think, on a Thursday evening. And each week you'd see him and they'd kind of wave a little bit. Well, then one time he took the effort to actually cross the road and say hello. It turned out that the other guy's name was Bill also. They used to chat each week, and after some time, Bill Hybels invited him to visit his church at Easter time. And when they next met over the trash can after that visit, Bill number two said how much he really enjoyed church. He said, "I thought your message was fantastic." Well, some months later, after Bill hadn't returned to church, Bill Hybel said, "Hey, Bill, you told me how much you love church, but we haven't seen you back for months." Quick as a flash, Bill across the road said, "Ah, yes, but your sermon was that good, it's lasted me for months." Well, with warm rapport and over a long period of time, Bill across the road was won for the kingdom of God. And he was a car salesman and he wanted to do something practical. And so he offered two vehicles to be able to be used for single parents within Willow Creek Church. Now here was someone loving not a friend but a stranger, who it would have been just as easy to ignore. Are we prepared to cross the street, so to speak? Yes, for the stranger, but even for our enemies, those who might have slandered us, those who might have terminated our employment, those who might have cheated us. Yes, citizens of heaven will respond to evil with good. It is a different way. It is a crazy way. But it is the way of the Christian counterculture. But again we ask how. And again we answer by looking at the King. For what did he do? As he was hanging on that gruesome cross, he did not hurl insults at those who had driven the nails into his hands and feet, but prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." If our Lord can forgive his enemies, then so too can we as citizens of heaven. Love your enemies, and you will stand out as a crazy one. In John 13, verses 34 and 35, we read, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Jesus says here that the distinguishing mark of his followers is that they love. Not that they've learnt the two ways to live tract, as good as that is. Love for enemies, of course, will lead to prayer. It will lead to attempts at reconciliation. It will lead to talking and not bearing grudges. And it will lead to forgiveness even when not reciprocated. Yes, these are tough demands on the citizens of heaven. If you think that's tough, look at the last verse, verse 48. It's what is a summary verse of all that has gone before. And it says this: "Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." The citizen of the kingdom of heaven aims for perfection. They are not satisfied with anything less. For the way of these crazy ones is to imitate their loving Heavenly Father. It is the travel in the way of their Lord, Jesus Christ. And while they know that they will not reach perfection this side of heaven, their goal is to not settle for anything less. For when you know what God has done for you, that is what you strive for. May we, brothers and sisters, indeed be those who are different, who in all our relationships strive for perfection. And when the world sees that our yes means yes and our no means no, and when they see that instead of seeking revenge, that we long to be generous to those that have wronged us, And when they see that instead of being like everyone else, loving our friends and hating our enemies, that they see that we also love our enemies. When they see these crazy different things, then they will be forced to sit up and to say, what is it about these Christians that makes them act so? They may not be won by your doctrine, but they may be won by your love. Let's just take a moment to reflect in the quiet of our own hearts and to reflect on whether we commend the gospel in the area of our speech, in the area of our response to evil, and in our broader relationships. Let's just take a moment to reflect. Please pray with me. O Father, we acknowledge our failure in so many ways, but praise you that as citizens of heaven, we have your Spirit to lead us into all truth. Help us, Heavenly Father, to be perfect as you are perfect. And we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. And sing again, over to the band.